Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's a Wednesday edition of OMF with Lou Merlone.
There's a Chinese proverb, right? Is that proverb? What it's called?
Christian Fourier.
They brought in Tyron Matthew.
And Glenn Ordway.
Siakam did not play.
Who's that?
Pascal Siakam, he did not play.
What will the NBA draft have in store for the Celtics tonight?
The Boston Celtics, just having three first-round picks.
One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Chaim Bloom joins the show at 2:30.
Not sure anybody's going to believe me, but I'll tell you the truth anyway.
Teddy Bruschi joins the show at 4:30.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Now it's time for OMF.
Oh, I'm going down to General Store.
EEI.
Got a lot of stuff today, as you just heard.
Ooh, busy.
Got some baseball with the boss over there, the Boston Red Sox. And we got Teddy Bruschi coming up at 4:30. Always great to hear Teddy on Wednesdays. You want to sing that song for you?
It's Teddy Bruschi. No, it's okay. Sorry. Don't ask me to do it,
okay,
unless you mean it. Because if you ask me to do it, you know I will do it.
I did mean it originally, and then I said, oh, what did I just do?
You took it back. It was too late.
What
did
I just do?
Too late. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. I'm free.
I guess so. So we start with basketball. Why? Because it's a big night tonight.
What is tonight?
NBA, it's an NBA draft.
Oh, fireworks.
And I'm going to start with my expectations, and I want yours for tonight. Here's my expectation. I do not want Danny Ainge to draft a player that is for his roster or the main Red Claws. I want him to deal these picks tonight to get legitimate talent that can help move this team up from a cute little team to maybe a cute little contender.
Okay. Okay. So you want him to actually draft somebody that will play for them. Right? That's what you're saying, right?
So you, no, he doesn't.
No. I want them to draft somebody that's going to play for somebody else.
Okay.
I want to get veterans. I want to trade.
Okay.
I want to use Kemba. I want to use Gordon Haywood. I want to use these picks to go and get
players.
So is
that what you think is going to happen?
That's what I'm hoping is going to happen.
Okay. That's what I want. I think you're going to have some fireworks.
Really?
Yeah, because I think Danny has to.
I think he has to.
I think this whole Gordon Haywood extension to 5 o'clock was simply to try to... He needs to work out a trade, or he's about to have Hayward walk out and not be able to replace him. Get nothing for this asset. So he has to make trades. And I think it might tie into the draft, whether he can move up and take this pick with Gordon Hayward and move on or whatever it might be. But there's no way in hell, and I know we've seen it before, there's no way in hell this man's going to stand pat and draft three players. And it's just not going to happen, especially with what's going on here with Gordon Hayward. He will trade picks. He will trade Gordon Hayward. He may trade somebody else. But there's going to be a different look to this Boston Celtics after tonight.
Okay, so you think it's going to be a different look. Okay, yep. Great. I'm on the opposite side of the fence than you because I get it. They want to do something. He's nervous. He realizes and recognizes what's going on the East right now and how some of his toughest competition, how they all got better, and he has not. And he's under the gun, and the clock is ticking. But I don't think he's going to allow himself to overpay for things. Like, so you're going to have to pack. We've already seen what the price is. So, Glenn, you want him to go out there and get rid of these picks and get a veteran player. Okay, we know that's going to be more than he's willing to spend. And I don't think he wants to get fleeced. I don't think he wants to get embarrassed. I don't think he wants anyone to think that they got a deal over on him when it comes to winners and losers after the draft. Then they have that whole thing on every single platform. He doesn't want to be in the loser category. So, no, I don't think anything's going to happen because we keep talking about fireworks. And when have we ever had fireworks? When? Every since for the last, I don't know, 7-8 years, there's been talk of fireworks and this guy's in town and that guy's in town and nothing ever happens. You know what your fireworks were? Al freaking Horford. You know what your other fireworks were? Kyrie Irving.
Gordon Hayward.
Kyrie Irving was a dud.
At the time, it was a big firework.
It was a dud. Gordon Hayward, dud. All of them duds.
Yeah, but here's the difference.
Get used to looking like you look.
Here is the difference. The difference is not that you say like he would like to. He has to. He absolutely has to. Even if the return on Gordon Hayward isn't what a lot of people might look at and say a win, it's better than nothing. It's better than nobody. I'm not even lying. Gordon Hayward is gone. So even if you get two guys that come off the bench and score, for Christ's sakes, it's better than him walking out the door and getting nothing and going to a team like Atlanta.
Yeah, I think it's a huge mistake if Danny is sitting there and doing what you just said, and that is, oh, I don't want to get fleeced. I want to make sure that the deal looks good. Forget about whether the deal looks good. Are you getting players, right, even though they may be less than what you're giving up in the end? Are you getting players at positions that can make you a legitimate contender next year or bring you closer to that point so that in the next 2 or 3 years, as Tatum and Brown move up the ladder to closer to top five player in the NBA? That's what you need to do right now. So I'm getting a little worried because I'm reading about this Kongwu, the 6'9 power forward out at USC.
Yeah.
And apparently he's got a foot injury and he might be dropping.
Perfect.
I hope Danny doesn't get too excited about a guy that might not even play next season. Will that excite people that maybe 3 years down the road he could be a legitimate player?
Well, I would say the foot injury
right now.
The foot injury is a concern. Okay, but just because, you know, he's a rookie doesn't mean he can't help you.
Well, he's going to drop down in the,
like,
in the
draft, but you've always said like rookies take like 3 years. We look, look around the league. Do they?
Yes.
Do they really? Three years? Go look at the all rookie teams.
No, pretty good players. But they're on bad teams. So
Tyler Hero?
Exception to the rule.
But yeah, there are exceptions. On the whole,
the overall rule is, I'd say two to three years.
Yeah. And Tyler Hero is still a complimentary player right now with Miami. He was the guy Danny wanted last year. We all know that. But those young players are not going to help you to be a main cog in winning a championship. They might be a minor cog into it. And if that's the case, that's fine, Lou. But I would rather him deal these players away and get somebody that's going to help next year.
All I know is that you say that he has to. And I agree with Lou on that.
Okay, well,
we all agree on that. Has to. But I just don't think, I think other GMs, other teams, other presidents kind of recognize the panic that he's under and the stress that he's, and the time frame that he now has to work under. And you can sit there and say, okay, there was an extension for a reason. But he needed to ask Gordon Hayward to hold off on this opting in or opting out, knowing that he's going to opt out because he couldn't get a deal done. Like, he didn't just find out about this on Monday. He knew about this for a while now. You think Gordon Hayward is not going to hook up Brad Stevens and say, just so you know, I'm leaning this way. I mean, I love you. You recruited me. You're my college coach. You brought me in, and I haven't done anything for you. I'm not gonna sneak attack you and throw this at you so you can't adjust to it. No, I'm going to do you a solid. The fact that he asked for an extension means he can't get something done, that no one is giving him what he wants, or the price is so high that he just personally can't accept it.
Yeah, okay, I understand. So there's a free agent team out there. We saw it last night. Atlanta. Atlanta's making a push for Gordon Hayward. So I think that there's other teams that would like Gordon Hayward, but they know they can't fit him. So it just comes down to math. You know, it's not like, hey, we can't give you this guy. Well, you got to give me the salary. You know, you got to give me these types of players. So when you're talking about like a team like Indiana, I need Miles Turner. You know, if there's going to be a sign and trade and he's going to get $27, $28 million, $25 million, you know, if you really want Gordon Hayward because you're worried about Oladipo leaving, you can sign and trade. But listen, Miles Turner, you got to find me another $7, $8, $9 million. So you start looking at the roster. So I think that there's teams interested in him, but Danny maybe just needed a couple more days to figure this thing out. I think the extension tells me that Gordon Hayward is gone. And if he walks with nothing, you're screwed.
Okay, I agree with you on that point. But does it also tell you that they're behind where they need to be as far as getting a deal? They asked for more time for a reason?
Well, I think what it tells you is he needs to maneuver some of these picks and make it a better pick to probably package with Gordon Hayward. Like, you know, you might sit there
absolutely
and say he's moving up to 9. And you might be moving up to 9. Everyone's like, good. They just moved up to 9. They're going to go get that kid from USC. Everyone's got him slotted in that range, you know, maybe a little higher, but the foot maybe gets him at 9. No. 9 might be going with Gordon Hayward. You know, he might need it that 24, 48 hours to kind of maneuver this draft board to get the pick that a team wants to go with Gordon.
And you're going to have to wait until tomorrow night. And that's why the delay is to Thursday afternoon, so that you get on the draft tomorrow night, and the Boston Celtics may be drafting for the Indiana Pacers in that first round. That may be part of the deal.
Or some other team.
Right. And a whole deal may be pending on whether a specific player is still on the board for Indiana. Listen, I don't leave it out that Danny still could work out a deal with Atlanta. If Gordon Haywood ends up going to Atlanta, because that's the only open spot he can go to, what's to say that Danny can't convince Atlanta that, why do you want to use up all of this cap money right now? Why wouldn't you still like to have some to get other players? You want to do other things, and then maybe you get another player. I don't know, Clint Capella. Maybe you're not going to get Collins, but maybe you get somebody off their roster that might not be as good as Gordon Haywood, but you get something in return. If you're Danny Ainge, you've got to exhaust all of those avenues. You can't let him go for absolutely nothing. That would be the worst thing to do. All right, do they deal Gordon Haywood?
Deal or no deal?
Or does Gordon Haywood
deal?
Just walk on them. And what do you want the Celtics to do tonight? I'm sorry, I don't want to sit there watching 14, 26, and 30 to the Boston Celtics. Oh, I don't want to see that. Chaim Bloom coming up at 2:30. We'll talk some baseball. Teddy Bruschi at 4:30 right here on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
But I don't think it's a lock that Gordon Haywood is on the Celtics next year.
I think what his agent Mark Bartlestein is doing right now is canvassing the league. He's doing the Al Horford plan.
I've heard Gordon Haywood does want out, but I don't know if he's going to get the money. He's not opting out of that huge number unless he knows he's getting the deal.
Gordon Haywood, apparently his deadline for opting out of his contract was today at 5 o'clock. They pushed that back until Thursday.
Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer has been all over this stuff.
Boston and New Orleans were talking about Boston's first-round draft picks with Gordon Haywood for Jrue Holiday.
Zach, does Haywood make sense for the Pacers?
I think he makes a lot of sense. He's a great shooter. He can play make. I think they need a little bit more perimeter playmaking. But mechanically, his path there, if Indiana's interest is real, is a little bit complicated and requires some cooperation from Boston, but I do think he would fit there very well, and there are deals to make that make some sense for both teams.
So I think we all agree Gordon Hayward is not going to be a member of the Boston Celtics, let's say, 2-3 days from now. Is that fair to say?
I think it's fair to say, because the other side of it is, why does it make sense, you know, if he plans on being here? Like, why would you extend this deadline?
You would not.
Right? I mean, if nobody wants him, if he doesn't want to go to Atlanta, if there's no trade partners out there, then why wouldn't you just take $34.1 million and play this year out? You're extending it because there is an option to go somewhere else, and you need to get a little more time. You got to get through the draft. You got to try to maneuver picks and maybe add to the package along with Gordon Hayward. I mean, I don't see any reason to extend it if he's coming back. He's gone.
Well, and I also think that there is so you think there's something's going to happen. Originally, I want to make sure. So let's say they do something. Let's say they do package it up. My point is, fine, they go in and package up, but it's not the fireworks everyone expects. It's not a one-for-one. It's not a former all-star, a guy that can get you 20 points and he can be a star, no. He can be an impactful player like Gordon Hayward, replacing him with another guy of similar production. Like, that, to me, is not what you're going to get.
No, it's need for need.
Aren't there levels here? I think you're whatever you get, it's not going to be at the same level. The value is not going to be the same.
The value
you're gonna
probably
take a haircut.
Will not be the same.
You're going to take a big haircut.
It may
because
very
you're desperate
well be.
And you have to make a move.
So you have to get rid of the money. You want to get something in return. And so you're probably going to have to package your draft picks with a Gordon Hayward or with a Kemba Walker to actually get something in return. I had an assistant coach in the league that I happened to talk to this morning who said, don't be surprised if they end up not getting a starter in return for Gordon Hayward, and he considers Gordon Hayward obviously a starter in the NBA.
Yeah, so to Lou's point, okay, something is better than nothing. Okay,
right.
Great. I mean, you got something. What is that something? What is it, like a small little appetizer? Is it lettuce with no dressing?
Is that better than going hungry?
Listen, I'm not saying that, but it's not fireworks either.
No.
It's not fireworks. You're talking about fireworks. No freaking way.
Well, I think there could be. Okay, so fireworks, the guy coming back. I mean, I don't know. Miles Turner coming back with a guy like Doug McDermott? I'm taking that. That's fireworks at this point. Like, I'm not saying they're going to go get LeBron.
You went from 4th of July extravaganza to, like, some dude's birthday party
to, like,
in May.
No, this is more of like 4th of July.
Fireworks that you throw on the ground and they snap.
It's going to be like 4th of July during COVID, right? The whole neighborhood is going nuts, but there isn't one big event, right? There's just little things. Again, he's got some holes on this roster, okay? He needs a big. He could use some scoring off the bench. And if a guy like Gordon Hayward can help you improve two spots, that is a hell of a lot better. Because now imagine Gordon Hayward going to Atlanta, and you still have holes you haven't filled. You just lost $34 million asset and got absolutely nothing in return.
Yeah, that's why
that cannot happen.
That's why I truly believe if it ends up Atlanta, and the Athletic had this one, according to a person familiar with Hayward's thinking, the 30-year-old former All-Star wants to continue to be a core part of a winning team and would not want to go to Atlanta. But what if Atlanta is the only alternative he has? Because he also wants to make money. He wants a new contract, probably 3 years and somewhere around $25 million, and that may be the only place to go. I think even if he ends up going to Atlanta, I think Danny's going to try to get something in return, figuring that Atlanta can give up something, though they have the money.
You keep bringing up Indiana. Is that his ultimate end game? Like, that's where I want to go.
I have no knowledge other than yesterday we started talking about this, and the first place I thought of was Indiana. Why? Because Indiana's concerned about their own roster right now. They're concerned about Victor Oladipo and his interest in staying there. Okay? They're concerned because they've got two different types of centers, power forwards that play the game differently. What do they want to do with it?
I'm just saying,
and
because
he's from Indiana.
Okay, so that's what I was getting to. So, okay, is he basically doing the same thing James Harden is doing, but just doing it, you know, on the low key, so he doesn't get lumped into that same type of mentality, that same type of point of view with players.
Well, maybe, but it also could be that Danny Ainge is doing this, and he's a perfect participant because he'd rather go to Indiana than Atlanta. But this whole idea of going to a winning team, being part of a winning team, does anybody think Indiana's a championship contender?
No.
They're a player away. Player away.
No. No,
that's
but
why
maybe
it's always, it's, you always find out the truth.
No, but maybe in his mind, it's like you're saying, you know, okay, if I'm going to go to a team, maybe I like the Indiana's roster better. I don't know. And you know what? I'm from Indiana.
Right.
So if I'm going to go to a couple of different types of teams, and listen, we keep mentioning Indiana. You know, I don't know. There are reports about Atlanta being interested. I don't know if it's Atlanta. It could be another team that I just think you got to get something back. And if you're going to move this guy, you have to get something back, right? You have to get the money. So you have to get a player. You have to get a big. You have to get something that's going to help you next year. So yeah, I think something's going to happen. But this talk about how, what was this, Mark Stein saying that the Celtics keep searching for trade pathways to get into the top three of tonight's NBA draft?
Right.
Top three?
Maybe that's what Indiana wants.
Okay,
to
but
be able to work out a deal.
You tell me, the value of their draft picks, what's it going to take to get to the top three? It's not like you can package all of them. You can package all of them, go from 14, package all of them, maybe move up to what, 11?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not much value.
Yeah.
Well, so what else are you giving up to get to three, like another player, to get to three in order to move Gordon Hayward?
Yeah, the Knicks had to give up another pick just to move up three spots from the bottom of the first round earlier today. So, no, you're not going to move up much in that. You'd have to give up more. So maybe Gordon Hayward is part of that. Maybe Kemba Walker is part of that. You're giving a legitimate player in that deal as well. I don't know. I mean, I think this is going to be very, very difficult for them to do, but there's probably another team involved, and then they get that draft pick, and then they're able to swing it to Indiana. Maybe it's a three-way deal. I don't know. I just don't think, I don't know about you guys, I don't think, maybe the Green Teamers will be satisfied if they walk out of this thing and they take number 14 or they package them and get number 11.
What's the least likely scenario with these draft picks? Using every last one of them?
Yes, I think that's the least, but we said that last year.
Again, and that's so I get it. I need more time. I just feel like whatever the outcome is, this is going to be one of those situations where you say, well, you know what? He did his best. He did his best under the circumstances. Here's another 19-year-old, 20-year-old basketball player that's going to end up north somewhere and we're never going to hear from him again.
So here's my problem in doing that now, because you can love this team. And they are fun to watch, and they do have upside, and you can look at it and say we can be patient. The problem is Milwaukee's making major moves that move them up the ladder very quickly. Brooklyn looks like they're going to do it. You're going to see Miami. They've got money, okay, and flexibility and assets, and you're going to see Philly do the same because they're changing the entire organization. You can't sit there and accept three guys, so we're getting Romeo Langford all over again. That's what you're going to
exactly.
end up doing. You can't do that for another year.
There is one thing we're ignoring. Kevin O'Connor, the Ringer, joined us yesterday to preview the draft. He said he thinks it's a certainty they have a draft and stash player. So that Danny Ainge could use all three picks, 14, 26, and 30, and draft two of the three picks as European draft and stashes. That would be the least exciting move going into tonight.
Yeah.
That would be so boring.
Yeah. And then we watch Gordon Hayward leave and go to Atlanta. And here we go. There's your team.
So that's the worst case scenario.
There's your team.
That's your worst case scenario, which I think is
possible too.
I also think it's the most likely scenario based on just the panic and, you know.
I don't even think that's the worst case scenario.
What's the worst case scenario?
I don't, because I think there's at least some intrigue. There's like, oh, I don't know. And, you know, people can start to, oh, maybe you've got the next Luka. You know, maybe you've got whatever. Like, what would concern me more is actually drafting three guys that played in college last year and saying, yeah, they'll probably all start in Maine. Like, actually seeing them. Like, you know, at least the intrigue of a couple stash guys, you're like, ooh, maybe what they could turn into. Like, so the worst to me is drafting actually three players from the U.S. that plan on coming and joining this roster and only to find out that two or three of them maybe are up in Maine all year long. That, to me, is the worst.
I don't think they have a roster spot in Maine, do they?
I don't think they do.
They guys up there.
They can't do it.
No.
They can't do it.
I mean, it's already crowded.
I want to know what people want, because I'm with you. Because a lot of times when Danny doesn't do anything, people come out right away and say it was very smart for Danny not to do anything.
Yeah.
He didn't want to give up too much. Nobody has any idea. They just want to believe in Danny Ainge. So do you want him to sit tight, or do you want him to make a move? I think most people want to see him make a move here and prove this roster, not add development players.
Well, if you add those development players, my problem with that is, especially the guys you're drafting, these kids that are coming out of the draft are all 18, 19 years old. So you're waiting 3 years for them to develop. Is everybody, the Celtic fans, that patient? You want to sit around for 3 years? I mean, you're not that far away based on what you've got right now. They're teasing you right now. So why not go make that move or moves that put you over the top and give you a significant chance against the Milwaukees, the Brooklyns, and other teams next year? All right, we'll get to more of the basketball a little bit later on. We're going to get to football, of course, with Teddy Bruschi coming up at 4:30 today. Chaim Bloom, who runs the organization over there called the Boston Red Sox, he's had a busy week. We'll ask him some questions about how the week went. It's all coming up next right here on OMF.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Find us on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF. Talk a little baseball right now with Chaim Bloom, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. He joins us live right now on the Harbor One hotline. Chaim, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to talk to you guys.
Good to talk to you again. I guess you've been pretty busy lately, so we got a bunch of questions to ask you. We did the sports talk debate back and forth. Who made the choice of Alex Cora? Was it Chaim Bloom? Was it the ownership or whatever? You have told us that it was you who ultimately made that decision. You also spent a lot of time interviewing a lot of other candidates. So when was the point when you actually knew that Alex Cora was the guy?
You know, I not until I actually made the decision, which was that was a Thursday. When I made the decision and got our group together, talked to them about it. Recommended it to our owners, and then with their blessing, reached out to Alex. But that was I can't remember the exact date, but it was the Thursday after the election.
Was it even close?
Yeah, for me it was, because I think we had a lot of good candidates to look at. And that's certainly no slight to Alex, because he's tremendous, as you guys know. But, you know, I tried to explain this when we talked about it publicly, that, you know, I think there was this feeling that, you had to assess, obviously, what Alex had done. And if you didn't find it disqualifying, that he was therefore a shoe. And that wasn't how I looked at it. I think the important thing, you know, once I had talked to Alex and felt that, you know, it made sense to consider him, that he could be a candidate for this, I think it was really just about, you know, as with any other candidate, looking at all of him, looking at the positives, looking at the negatives, and then, you know, just seeing how that stacked up. Now, obviously, compared to a lot of other candidates that we talked to, he had very different strengths and very different negatives. But at the end of the day, you still need to assess everything that that you think a person is and what that means for how they might do the job.
Speaking of strengths, so, you know, you're known as an analytics guy, you know, smart guy, went to an Ivy League school, you know, so much smarter than us stupid jocks over here. But, you know, I would assume that matching, you know, you wanted to match yourself up with another guy who pretty much shared your philosophy. So what did you learn about his approach with analytics, and was it in line, and is it in line with yours?
Well, if you guys think I'm smart, you might be in the minority in New England right about now. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'd gotten to know Alex obviously a little bit before he left in January, and knew him by reputation before coming here. He's a brilliant guy and a brilliant baseball mind. I think I'm not sure you're going to find anybody who's going to disagree with that. He has a great eye for the game and he's really, really smart. I think, I've said it before that all you're really at the end of the day, what you want your manager to do is lead a group effectively, to be, a good partner in what you're trying to achieve as an organization, and to put your players in a position to succeed and to get the most out of them. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. And I think it's more important probably now than it ever has been in the game, given how creative organizations are getting, to be open to different ways to do that. But the end point is the same. You're just trying to win as many ball games as you can and hopefully do it for a long time. So, I know that that's how Alex is motivated. And, just hearing him talk about the game and seeing his work over the years, I have appreciated how many different possibilities he is able and willing to look at in terms of putting his team in a position.
So he does agree with you, I guess, is in lockstep with you as far as your approach to building a team and the ways you go about doing that.
Yeah, we had good conversations about that, and he wouldn't be in this job if I and our department didn't think that he would be a partner for us. Now, look, there's going to be things that we might do or ask that he may disagree with, and I think that's a healthy part of a relationship. You don't want a yes man. You don't want someone who's going to agree with you on every single thing. Nor do we want that in our front office. We're going to get better by challenging each other. I think if we're aligned in our big picture goals and we want the same thing for the organization, then that disagreement is going to be healthy because we're going to find better ways to achieve those goals.
Chaim, Alex wasn't actually the only guy you guys kind of brought back. And I know that JT Watkins, the video replay coordinator who was suspended through the investigation, you guys brought him back. So why'd you feel comfortable bringing him back in a different role?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And this is another tough question that at the end of the day, I recognize it's kind of a question, about the organization, and ultimately fell on my shoulders to take a stance on what I thought of that after considering everything. Certainly something that, I think JT deserved to be, have his employment taken on its own merits. I think, and you can see a lot of it in the commissioner's report, as much as the commissioner found that he had committed a violation, he also recognized that, the state of where the rules were, the position he was in basically was a very difficult position for someone to be in. And that was something that we factored in. Now we also thought, he's come back in a pro scouting position, and, independent of what the report lays out that he did, he's a good person who treats people well. He's been a great employee, a good teammate, and that's something we factored in too. But we did feel it was most appropriate, if he were going to come back, for him to come back in a different role. And that was a role that he also wanted to take on. So he's not going to be in our clubhouse. He's not going to be with our traveling party, but he's going to get a chance to contribute to the organization in a scouting position. And he's got a great feel for the game. I know it's maybe an unanticipated detour for his career, but we're confident that he's going to make us better in that position and add some value to the organization.
All right, we're talking to Chaim Bloom of the Red Sox. Let's move forward. Let's look at the baseball season, because we're all questioning what your goal is here. We've had an offseason where a lot of teams are not picking up options, probably because of economic uncertainty. You have gone into a situation where you have reset the competitive balance tax. Going to be a lot of good players out there. Do you have any spending restrictions from ownership?
We talked about it generally. We're not operating under any kind of a fixed cap. But we also need to be responsible. We need to understand that, you know, what the pandemic has done is not something that we as an organization are immune to. But, you know, the encouraging thing to me, and it really came to light in some of the conversations that I had with ownership throughout the year, is, you know, they have been in this a long time now, and they are in this for the long haul. And, you know, you guys know, because I talk about it all the time, our top line goal, which is to be an organization that on a year in, year out basis can compete.
You okay right now? Just a little worried.
Give yourself up.
No, that's outside my window here. That is not coming from me, at least not that I know of. But I know I appreciate the concern.
Yeah.
No. So obviously you can compete for the AL East annually. This division, as good as it is, you're going to be able to compete for a World Series. And that's our goal. And so, you know, things that really have a chance to push us meaningfully towards that goal, they are going to be fully behind. What that means for us in the short term, I don't know yet. We're trying to monitor the market like everybody else is and figure out what are the best opportunities. Where can we, where can our money do the most good this winter? In that market and, make sure that we're addressing our needs accordingly.
So, Chaim, I know there's a new CBA coming, but, you know, a lot of the talk with luxury tax, and especially around here, has been almost this three-year window, right, before resetting. So I guess the question would be, are you ready to jump into that window now, or is this a year where you sort of build that foundation more as far as going over that luxury tax?
Well, you know, and I understand why the luxury tax has been such a topic of conversation around here. And, you know, I get it. Like it's been a big deal. I understand why it's a big deal. I think we always need to be focused on that foundation. You cannot take shortcuts to doing this sustainably. If you try to take shortcuts, maybe you'll be able to do it for a year or two, and then you're going to end up back in the cellar. And that's probably true no matter what your resources are. When you see the organizations that are able to do this year in, year out, they're not taking those shortcuts. They are always going to be focused on building that foundation. Now, when you're operating in a market like we are with, when we are, and we will get back there when we're, you know, we have a full Fenway Park, we have resources that allow us to do some of those big splashy things on top of that foundation. But if you don't have that foundation, it's just not going to work. So that's always going to be a frontline focus of ours, regardless of, I would expect that to be the same in 2, 3, 4 years, just as it is now.
So speaking of that foundation, you know, there's some qualifying players out there who received offers where you have to give up a pick, you have to give up international signing bonus money. But given the economics of baseball, there could be a deal out there that you may not just, even though you don't want to give up those picks, that you can't pass up, right? So could that possibly, and I don't want to say any names, but there's a center fielder that's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I think we'd be silly to rule it out. We don't know how the winter is going to unfold. I also think it's important, given where we are, given where our farm system needs to get, that we're not treating those picks as if they don't have value. And if they do have a lot of value to us, they're really important. They're obviously the quickest way for us to get back to having one of the top farm systems in baseball. So you have to factor it in. I think one of the beauty, I generally don't like to take options off the table. I think one of the beauties of being in a market like this one is that, you know, when your organization's running at full capacity, you should not have to take any options off the table. So we won't.
Sorry, we're talking to Chaim Bloom of the Red Sox. So what type of team are we looking at here next year? We just focusing on pitching. Is it going to be rotation? Is it going to be, you know, bullpen? Or is it going to be a little mixture of both? How do you see this shaping out?
We definitely need to add pitching. I think, you know, that's not news, right? We all saw it this past year. We have room to accommodate quality pitching, whether it's starters or relievers or swingmen or, you know, anything in between. We have room to accommodate those guys. We need to go out and find some more pitching. That's obviously not a secret. So, you know, I think some of that is going to be just dictated by what the opportunities are in the market, whether it's with free agents or in trade. It's exciting now to be looking at, you know, some new faces that joined this team this past year, guys like Houck and Pivetta, and see how they could contribute. But we also don't want to be in a position where we are overly reliant on them. You know, we know at some point during the season, we should expect Chris Sale back. That's going to be a huge lift. But we don't want to be so reliant on that that we don't have enough quality pitching to get us to that point. So, you know, I think the answer is really all of the above. I think we need to be as strong as we can. Like, I think the strength of our team, you know, right now is that lineup, and I would expect that still to be the case come opening day. But, you know, the bottom line is whether it's by, you know, run scoring or run prevention, it all matters to winning games. We got to be open-minded to different ways to put us in position to win more games. And so wherever that value is, whatever opportunities there are to add talent to the team, we got to be open to it and willing to do it.
There's no doubt that the team that you came from, maybe the best in all of baseball at finding and developing talent, and that's the Tampa Bay Rays. Yet they always seem to have to deal with big market teams when they no longer have economic control of that player because they can't afford to pay them. You are now working for one of those big market teams. Do you think that your old organization would be reluctant to trade with you in any way?
Having been there, I don't think so. I think that's one of the things that I learned over time there is you have to be fearless. If you believe in your process, even if it's something that is risky, even if it's something that might be unpopular, you have to be willing to follow that. And a lot of the things that worked out over time there were not that popular up front, or they were perceived as being, you know, risky out of the chute. And it really just came down to, you know, if you have good people and a good process and you believe in it, you've got a chance to make some gains. Now, you know, sometimes to do that, you have to be willing to take some incoming up front. But if you get scared off by that, or if you get scared off by maybe this will look bad, what will people say? You know, things like that, then you're going to end up missing out on some opportunities. So obviously, there's a lot more eyeballs on our organization, no question. But I think, you know, that's a mindset that I've tried to take here as well.
So Alex Verdugo was a lot of fun to watch last year, but there is, you know, a hole right now. I know Jackie is now a free agent, but more so in left field. Based on what you've seen the last couple of years, how do you count on Andrew Benintendi? Like, what is the situation him coming into camp? Is he still that guy, or do you sort of look for someone kind of behind him?
I don't feel any differently about his talent. It's just a shame that, you know, his year ended so suddenly because he never got a chance to pull out of that slow start. And what was kind of perplexing about that start was during summer camp, he was swinging the bat really, really well. So that kind of came out of nowhere. I'm sure he would have pulled out of it, but just unfortunately, it was a kind of a freak injury, and it knocked him out for the rest of the year. He's doing fine right now. You know, no concerns about him being ready for spring training. You know, we know, you know, the age he's at, the talent he has, no reason to think he's not going to be productive. Now, with that said, I'd always like to have more depth. I think you want to have it everywhere on the field. So even if you have a lot of faith in someone, you still want to have that insurance policy. You still want to have that depth, because the season is just going to wear you down. It always does every year. There's going to be guys that are going to be unavailable for periods of time, hopefully not long periods, but you want to make sure you're ready for that.
We're talking to Chaim Bloomer of the Red Sox. So, I mean, JD Martinez had a rough year, and he also referenced about how hard it was to play during the pandemic and the new rules and regulations. So he struggled in 2020. So based on that, does a guy like JD Martinez, do you just give him a pass for, you know, how poorly he played last year?
You know, it's hard to answer that question because obviously time will tell. I would say that there's never been a better year in baseball to say that somebody should get a pass. It's not to make an excuse for him, but just to say, looking forward, who do we think he is? In a case like this, knowing what 2020 was, knowing how short it was, how difficult it was for certain guys to get prepared, I'm more willing to bet on somebody's track record prior than to put too much weight on 2020. Yeah, we're going to find out. And I know knowing a little more now, being around JD some about just how much it changed his preparation. Look, we may be under some of the same restrictions in 21. We don't know. So, you know, some of it's on him to figure out ways around that. But I think when you're just looking forward and figuring out, you know, trying to figure out who do we think this guy is as a hitter, I'm going to be a lot more willing to bet on his track record than if he had struggled like that in a normal season.
So a guy like Eduardo Rodriguez, I mean, he was exceptional in 2019. He doesn't play last year. He's going to go to arbitration and I guess probably get a bump for not even playing because the way the process works. But how difficult does it make sitting down trying to talk about an extension? This guy's a year away. Does the missed year just complicate everything?
Yeah, never like, I should say, just generally speaking, I don't like to get into details on those possibilities with him or any player. But look, hypothetically, you know, obviously it makes things a little more complicated from that front. I believe, you know, and again, this can be true about anybody. When you have a mutual desire to do something, it gives you a better chance to at least have a good conversation. Sometimes these things line up. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes the circumstances, like you said, can just make it tougher. But I do believe, you know, if there's desire, you at least have a chance. Now, again, all these extensions that happen, you see throughout the game, are some kind of sharing of risk between a team and a player. And usually, in a situation where the player, you know, wants to continue to be where he's at. And everybody's got to make their own decisions on what kind of sharing of risk is appropriate. Just because you don't line up doesn't mean that there wasn't a desire to get it done. It just may change from player to player and situation to situation.
Hi, earlier Christian called you smart, analytical guy, Ivy League school. What you don't realize
super
is
nerd.
Most days he debates and really believes Colorado was a step above the Ivies, but that's a separate
in sports
subject.
It is.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you about Theo Epstein, because you're a young guy in this business. There are a lot of so-called smart guys, analytical guys, Ivy League guys who are flooded through Major League Baseball. And yet I remember when Theo came here, he was the young kid from Brookline, and he had all of that. And you look at him stepping down right now, already through his second team, two championships. Was that a guy that you looked at? And because he kind of turned the corner in analytics, did he not?
Yeah, I think he was one of the more, you know, I was in college when he took the GM job here. And I think, you know, he was one of the more visible symbols of, at least there were pathways in the game to significant impact for, you know, people with backgrounds similar to mine. It's never just one person. I'm sure Theo would tell you that too. There's a lot of different people that have had impact over time, a lot of different ways to have an impact. But, you know, certainly, I think he sort of showed at a time when it was less common that there were, you know, pathways to contribute for people with backgrounds like the one I have.
Yeah, totally different. He's already through two championships, so you get some work to do. We'll let you go and let you get to work, and we'll talk to you down the road.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Good to catch up with you.
All right, good catching time. Up yeah. with you. Chaim Bloom of the Boston Red Sox this hour has been brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch. Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.